from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the Jack and Spike Show.
Welcome back to the Jack and Spike Show. Jake Squireheim in for Jack Stein today. We will now talk about a little bit of history, a little bit of movie history, and speak of history. God, I can't believe I said that. Let's go now, 30,000 feet below the surface of Las Vegas, Nevada, where Bob Rivers is broadcasting from his bunker. Dug out with, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, tongue depressors and popsicle sticks with dirt carried away by prairie dogs. Bob, how are you?
Yep, and I'm just enjoying some delicious, well, I can't say what it is, but it's delicious.
Is this space food? Is that what you eat in MREs?
No, it's the same thing that Biden's uncle really enjoyed. It's a specific delicacy.
You dog! Okay, let's
gross.
We could start there if you want. I was hoping we could start
actually,
with...
Actually, no, I do want to say this. We just came back. I'm not hardly in Vegas. Just got here. We just came back from first ever trip ever to San Diego.
Really?
And yeah. And, you know, I don't know why I never got there, but... we started walking on Mission Beach Boardwalk. Have you ever heard of that?
Sure, it's world famous.
Beautiful. And I saw furries rollerblading, which your show reminded me of.
Oh, you saw furries?
No, it's California. You know I'm not making it up, right?
No, that's true.
Okay. No, we do that kind of a walk, just like on the strip sometimes, just to watch what weird stuff people will wear.
Aren't humans wonderful creatures?
Oh.
Well, and every flavor of human creature.
Were the furs walking themselves, or
did they hold their own leash? That's a rollerblading.
No, they were rollerblading furries. And at first, I thought, because I'm out of touch, right?
Mm-hmm.
I said to Lisa, "There's a name for that. I can't remember what it was." And then I tuned into you guys. I'm like, furries.
There you go.
Glad we can help, man.
Finger on the pulse.
This show has been so informative. And then after that, we went to SeaWorld.
What?
Yes.
How
are you saying
how,
what? Like an
like how could
liberal?
You do
because,
that? Yes.
Yeah.
No, I'm being a little facetious, but I know that the marine parks, the SeaWorlds of the world,
mm-hmm.
Are going through a tough period here because the people with their changing, evolving views of animals in captivity of all natures.
Yes.
But especially
yes.
marine animals.
I loved SeaWorld
you know,
as a kid.
Yeah.
I thought it was very cool.
You were asking last hour if you were an animal, what animal would you be?
Yeah.
And we're all animals, and I don't know who's more in captivity, one of the 1,000-pound dolphins that's entertaining you for food,
uh-huh.
or the poor guy who's the greeter at Walmart. Which one is more?
An animal in captivity?
They're both greeting you for food, basically.
You know, we recently had the native Northwest orca who was being, who had lived in 30 plus years in an enclosure in Miami.
Tokate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the arrangements were being made for having that creature brought back to the Great Northwest to the Salish Sea, and the animal perished. Tokate perished before the transport could be made here.
Very sad.
Do they have orcas at SeaWorld in San Diego?
They do. So let me address your initial taunt. I felt guilty about going there, mostly because of orca whales, because we know, being in the Pacific Northwest, and, you know, Ann and Nancy Wilson, I think mostly Ann had this crusade to stop orca captivity because of essentially how they are kept. These are animals that, you know, they transverse long distances, right?
Yeah.
Thousands of miles. And there's no swimming pool that won't make me sad to see them in. So I boycotted, I don't know if this counts, if I'm virtue signaling, but I boycotted the orca show.
So you didn't even see them? You just refused to look
at
them?
I saw them swimming.
You walked by the other way?
Yeah, but I went to the sea lions and otters because they're just food to orcas, right?
Sure.
Oh, that's a good point. You know, yeah. What can you do on this already? Isn't being done worse in the wild?
You know what?
Right.
Like,
they have whiskers, so they're kind of funny.
I bet you the orcas appreciated the gesture.
They didn't see your. Yeah,
I mean, like
Rivers,
I know you didn't show up at the
better.
Show. Yeah, like you didn't show up at the show, and somebody else did. But I bet you, if you guys somehow had connected eyes as you were walking by, and I know you weren't looking in their direction, but if you had been, I bet you there would have been a little acknowledgement. Thank you for, you know, not putting me through that.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen, Bob, have you seen Blackfish, the documentary?
That's the documentary. I did see it that Anne recommended years ago. It's been a long time, so I don't remember much of
that. That was one of those things that was so eye-opening for me. If anybody hasn't seen it, it's a really fascinating documentary. But it basically, just a very short story of a long story. It really dives into the history of orcas in these water parks. And it shows you, just like to your point, Bob, what you were just saying a second ago, these whales who have this tremendous ability to travel all around the globe.
Right. And so the sense of community and family.
Yeah, the family. They have all these different things. When they are sequestered into these tiny little tanks, you know.
It's being put in a glass closet you and me.
And then they get violent. And then the whales get violent. And it's just the whole thing just spirals and it just gets bad. Yeah. But it's a really interesting documentary.
So, made no sense. Yes, Spike, go ahead.
No, I was going to transition into the other crazy story.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
We have so much political chatter these days. Yesterday, President Biden gave us a little nugget to chew on because President Biden being in his early 80s.
Delicious.
Was that fun?
It was. President Biden gave us an actuality. And he's always told stories of his past. He's kind of a Holmesy political style that he has to tell back in the day, him and Corn Pop or whatever name he comes up with the other day. He told a story about his uncle who served in World War II and who is, according to the Biden version, the Biden family version, I'm sure it's been passed down from Delaware Beach House to Delaware Beach House, that his uncle Bougie was shot down during World War II and landed in Papua New Guinea where you know there are cannibals.
I think Laura has audio. Do you have him saying it?
They called him Ambrose Bozy. They called him Bozy. My Uncle Bozy. He got shot down in New Guinea. And they never found the body because there used to be a lot of cannibals for real in that part of New Guinea.
Yeah, well, first the arm.
Lying.
Well, he's not lying, but he's not really remembering correctly either. First the army came out and said, well, you know, the lieutenant colonel, I think, or whatever his rank was, Finnegan, Ambrosia Finnegan, was a member of a 4-passenger crew. It was a courier flight, not a recon flight, as President Biden had misremembered, and that the plane had engine failure, went down into the sea, and the body was never recovered. Which that part of Biden's story is right. You know, and it was just a field day banner on conservative media yesterday about how Biden's
everybody,
but well, most people,
I'm loving it.
I didn't see it at all. That single, not one mention on MSNBC.
Nobody talked
MSNBC
about Biden.
Didn't bring it up.
Mention, not once, not once with their fair and balanced reporting over there. Not once. But the folks at Papua New Guinea are having a moment too. Say, wait a minute. We don't just if I could quote, they wouldn't just randomly eat white men that fall out of the sky. Outraged Papua New Guinea academics lashed out.
Yes.
I guess they were offended by this.
They were offended by this.
Yeah, okay.
Did they explain the real cannibalism? And what they do is they eat brains of relatives after they die as a part of a funeral ritual.
Oh, really? Is that what they do?
Spike, when you sent me this, you sent me into the rabbit hole of cannibalism, the internet.
Okay.
And yes, because the first thing I wanted to know is, does cannibalism still exist?
Right.
And it's very rare now. And it turns out it's not healthy for us to eat ourselves.
No.
Have you watched any zombie movie? Beginning.
Right.
You go nuts when they turn to cannibalism. Yeah. They go nuts.
Okay.
And all good fiction is based on some accuracy.
Sure.
There's some scientific and medical accuracy.
Papua New Guinea has a history of cannibalism.
Yeah.
Just like Salt Lake City has a history of multiple brides. Okay.
Yeah, I got it. Right. Yeah.
It's not fake news. And by the way, I think this may be one of the most brilliant Biden political moves ever.
Well,
I think in order to win this election, you have to be entertaining.
That's really well thought. Yeah, I agree with you completely.
Cannibal story is genius. Trump wishes he thought of it. First, look at the headlines. I'll just show you some of the headlines here. Lost for words. Joe Biden's tale about cannibals bemuses Papua New Guinea residents. Oh, I got to Google that. Was Joe Biden's uncle eaten by cannibals after World War II crash? Experts say it's highly unlikely. Cannibal experts finally have their phones ringing off the hook. This is fantastic. Was Biden's uncle eaten by cannibals near New Guinea in World War II? Here's what the president said, right?
Yeah, you know what you don't see? The word border, the words student loan relief.
Exactly.
Right?
You're right.
It's genius.
Yeah,
this is a page out of Trump's book. Whoever's writing this stuff for him should keep writing it. And then I see in the National Post, again, none of these are the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal, Joe Biden doubles down on false claim his uncle was eaten by cannibals. Now, how can you prove it was false?
Well, you can't.
There you go.
No, you're right.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Conspiracy theory 101.
It's not like he was going after the cannibal vote. You know, any
I don't think people in Papua New Guinea can vote for president.
I'm not talking about local, domestic.
Oh, yeah. The
natural.
Local
I'm not talking about illegals voting, Jake. I'm not talking about that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you remember when Elizabeth Warren had her thing with, I mentioned this yesterday too. Elizabeth Warren had her moment, you know, that led to the Pocahontas slur by President Trump, right? Where she had said, you know, it was always my family's, our family story that we told around the table that we came from descendants of a Native American tribe.
Yeah.
And she got just blasted for cultural appropriation.
Why would she get blasted? Because if I looked at her, I would say, maybe.
Well, because someone looked up the word Pocahontas on the internet and said, I think this will go viral.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's always nice to throw mud at the other side.
Okay.
And that's kind of the point of why I love this. I also like the ad that Biden is running. Here in Nevada, they run it on TV all the time, where he's really funny and he makes fun of himself.
I'm not a young guy anymore. That one?
Yeah.
I love that one.
I think to be effective these days, you have to be entertaining. You were talking about news earlier and how, yes, does it have a bias? Well, it has a target audience, which means you appeal to that target audience. You explained it very well, Spike. And these days, all of our political ads are just attack ads, appealing to fear and divisiveness in our reptilian brain. If we could do comedy ads for half price.
Oh, 2-for-1 funny ads. We should offer that here. Election season's coming and we're going to have some ads.
This is a great idea. Take it to the back office. See what they say.
Did you see the? If you got more on this, go ahead. I don't want to cut you off.
No, just basically. I mean, here's the thing. When I Googled it, I'm reading a book about conspiracy theories right now and how they take hold and grow and become believed.
Is it the Bible?
It's a book called Misbelief by Dan Ariely. He's a great...
Oh, Dan Ariely's great, yeah.
You remember him? Yeah. So I'm reading a book about this, and what a story needs is it needs to have you look it up and find more things, and then the story builds and builds. So I found immediately, yes, there were and may still be Papua Guinea cannibals. They don't really want to talk about it, but... How do you know?
So it just has just a tiny little grain of truth.
Yeah.
And then that little ember can be fanned into a flame. Yeah.
And you know how you find the cannibals?
It sounds like you just crash your plane in the water and you'll find them.
No. You drain the swamp.
There you go. Speaking of an ember, that's a nice transition.
That was a long
there.
Way to go for that. Thank you for letting me get in there.
That's okay. Speaking of embers, you remember the movie The Shining?
Yes.
Right, yeah, and the hotel in The Shining was the Overlook, I believe it was, and that was supposedly based in Colorado. But the real hotel that was filmed, the exteriors of the building were filmed for The Shining, caught fire yesterday. It's in Oregon.
Oh, I didn't realize it
was. Yeah, the hotel
it's
itself.
In Oregon. Yeah, you're
right.
The
hotel itself was actually in Oregon, and there was a fire yesterday. They fear was started by embers from a fireplace that caught some dried out wood in the over construction. And the hotel's the Timberline Lodge down in Oregon. And Jake and I were talking about the movie The Shining, and Laura, our producer, has never seen The Shining. But that's okay, Laura, since of the top 100 movies, you probably haven't seen 104 of them.
We've played this game before.
Yeah, yes. Laura, we need, and that's our
you
fault.
Guys
we
just describe plots of movies as you should know.
I've never seen it.
Oh, I can't
Bob,
tell you.
Are you a fan of The Shining, and the movie, of course? Or are you a fan of horror movies?
So I did see it, but like Laura, I don't like, I have an aversion to horror movies. Same as I had an aversion to the Tilt-A-Whirl yesterday at SeaWorld. Why should I put myself through a scary experience? And I get there's appeal for some people. And of course I like drama. And I like end of the world movies, especially if Meryl Streep gets eaten in the last frame.
That was a great movie, Don't Look Up. I love that
really forgot about that. Yeah, that was good.
Oh, sorry. But a slasher film. Andrew likes them. He'll come over and he'll start one. And I cannot. Yeah, I cannot.
It's a multi-billion dollar industry. There's a big, big market for it.
I'm with you completely.
Is heroin, by the way. And I stay away from that.
It's also good to stay away. Yeah, you're totally right.
Because it's a multi-billion dollar industry.
Does it stick with you? Is it the images that you just can't shake them?
Well, what it is because I know there is evil in real life, if I see something like that, I go, yeah, It's around somewhere. And I start to actually, you know, I'm one of those people who double locks the doors and a little night light.
I'm with you there, man. The horror movies that are based in what broken humans are the monsters and villains. Those ones affect me even worse.
Yeah.
You know, because you know that there might be somebody like that in the world. And it puts that thought in the back of your head that you never needed there.
I think you're totally right, Bob. It's like post-apocalyptic sci-fi movies. I could watch those all day. Those don't affect me. Like if I go watch Alien or Prometheus, those have frightening jumps.
Yeah, sure.
But they don't haunt me at night.
Yeah, I don't think there's something we're going to come across a ghost ship floating through space that's got eggs in the bed, whatever. Yeah.
Like I also can't. And this is another weird phenomenon, but like it's like true crime stories are really, really, really popular, especially with women.
Yeah.
I can't listen to those things because I feel like in the back of my head, I'm constantly reminding myself. I'm going like, you know what? This is a real thing. Like this really happened.
It happens.
And then I start picturing the situation that it led to. And like, I just my brain just sits there in it and it just puts me in a really dark place. I just don't like being in a dark place.
Now, go ahead, Bob.
If it gets like a 10 out of 10, 100% on the tomato meter. If something's really huge, then I'll feel it's my duty to watch it. Like
Then you got to know. Yeah, you don't want to be
I didn't want to watch people get blown up in a nuclear explosion, but this was history and, you know, it didn't frighten me, although it frightens me that it could happen next week.
Yeah. How about Oppenheimer, right? Or Barbie, which
one? Yeah, but when this is like a slasher movie, like my son watches, you know, and it's a bunch of, they set up a bunch of 20-something-year-old hot girls with some guys in a, they don't call them Airbnbs, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, sure. Lake, it was a Morningstar, the lake was. Camp counselor gone awry. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, if she hadn't been making out behind the lodge, probably would have got stabbed with a spear gun. Yeah.
I'm like, first of all, if I watch this, it's not because of the plot. I already know the plot.
Fair enough.
You've seen all you need to see in the first 15 minutes.
It's kind of like a rom-com in that way.
Yeah.
Same way.
That's a little more
they
my
are
speed,
all the
too.
Same.
Yeah, I think all of us are kind of in agreement that I'm not a big horror fan. Why would I, like Bob said, why would I pay to feel miserable and unhappy and scared and sweaty? Just like being on a roller coaster. It's not for me, but there's an audience for this stuff, for the tilt-a-whirl, for the whatever coaster, for the slasher movies, there's a huge, massive, multi-billion-dollar industry out there.
But The Hotel and The Shining, still with us. They got it under control, so if you still go visit it.
Tear it down or they did tear it down?
No, the Timberline, they put the fire out, they'll make repairs on it. It's a national landmark down there. It's a beautiful piece of work. It's one of those vintage old hotels that they don't build in like these anymore.
And that's a movie somebody should see. I mean, if you're going to look at a movie, that's a good movie.
Laura, you're not a fan of the horror movie?
No, I'm not, because they do haunt me after I watch them. Like, zombies don't bother me. Like, there's movies I can watch where I can really leave it at the door. And then, Bob, there's ones where I'm going around double-checking all the locks, and I'm turning on my nightlight. And
is it zombies don't bother you, Laura, because you don't believe in zombies, so you know they're fake?
Yes.
Whereas a psycho,
we
know there are psychos.
How about ghosts? Yeah, ghost movies? Bob, are you a believer in the afterlife and ghosts?
I'm a believer in something. I got my bags packed. I'm ready to go.
I'm a believer in don't mess with it. That's how I feel.
The one thing I don't believe in is nothing. That's why I'm pretty sure I'm against nothing.
Bob, what do you got? You're working on a new project for. Can we talk about what it is yet, or we still got to wait?
No. Well, the film about Alan White, which is called All Good People, is currently being worked on by a bunch of people, and it's public, although not officially promoted. And being on with you guys once a week is a blast for me, and. Really, that and raking up the rocks in my backyard.
Don't forget to mow.
Good luck with that.
It's desert.
Bob Rivers, always a pleasure, my friend. We'll talk again soon. Oh, I love it. When we get back, it's the Jack and Spike Show with Jake Squireham sitting today. When we get back, let's talk about the tourist season in Seattle, because they're coming for the summer. In fact, the cruise season's already started, and I am not a fan. I'm even less a fan of cruises than I am of horror movies, but I'm working with a guy that just loves to cruise.
Love it.
All right. We'll be right back after these.
You're listening to Jack and Spike.
Welcome back to the Jack and Spike Show. Jake Squireham been with us all day yesterday. It's been a blast.
Yeah, it's been fun.
I love conversing with you. I
me
do.
Too.
Yeah, we don't agree on a lot of things. We agree on numerous, more than we disagree on. We've got similar interests.
Yeah, we agree on a lot of stuff.
Let's talk about tourism, because it's tourist season. America is so diversely rich in the place to visit. We've had the luxury and luck of being able to see so much of this country. I've been in almost every state in the union. I've been in New Orleans. I've been to Florida. I've been to Hawaii. I've seen the Grand Canyon. I've seen the Arch in St. Louis.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, I've been able to go to the Great Lakes. I've seen downtown Manhattan. I've seen the Painted Desert of the Southwest. And I love the natural and aesthetics beauty of the Great Northwest, of Seattle itself. But I don't think of Seattle as a destination, tourist destination, because I live here. But so many people do. And tourist season is here.
I was interested. I mean, I was surprised by this, too. Apparently, do you know how much people spend annually here on tour? Like, how much tourist dollars come into the state?
I don't know the number.
Let me tell you the number.
Okay.
According to Visit Seattle, the tourism marketing organization for Seattle and King County, visitors here just this past year spent $8.2 billion.
Wow.
Isn't that number shocking to you?
That blows my mind. It's just in tourist dollars.
Like obviously it's great and beautiful in the summertime. And there's a lot to do and there's a lot to see. But I wouldn't have guessed $8.2 billion.
Well, is that mostly the cruise industry? I mean, last year was a good year because we had the All-Star Game from baseball.
That's true.
Probably Taylor Swift brought in a huge amount of money touring in Seattle last year, if those tourist dollars count.
Yeah.
But the
cruise industry only brings in $900 million a year.
Okay, yeah.
So you're still,
$8.2 billion.
You're still looking at like at least $7 billion
a year. That's amazing.
Is just other stuff, like just people wanting to see the Space Needle. People want to go to the original Starbucks.
64,000 people make their living off the tourist industry in Seattle. I saw that number come up.
Where do you go? Like, well, I want to get into cruises in just a second because I think cruises get a really bad rap, and I understand it, and we'll get into it in just a minute. But if you are, like, when you look at the summer, you look at the summer ahead, when you're thinking about going off and, you know, finding a time to enjoy some downtime,
right?
Where do you try to get to? Where's a place
as a local?
Have to be local. Like, you know, tourism, but like, where do you head to? Do you leave? Do you go somewhere else? Like me and my family, we try to get to Montana once a year.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. I thought you were asking where I go locally.
No. Like,
where do we go in the summer?
I mean, people do tourist stuff here, and that's fun. But like, where do you get to?
I love Eastern Washington. It's a completely different world than King County.
It is fantastic.
It's a completely different desert world.
Yes.
Canyons, coulees. I mean, it's amazing.
And it's so hot.
It's, yeah, summertime's 100 plus. It's fantastic. We have family over in the Wenatchee area. My father-in-law, before he passed, had a home in Wenatchee. We'd go over there almost every other weekend throughout the course of the summer.
Ride
motorcycles over there, you know, ride up along the Columbia. It was fantastic. But I've been to Glacier National Park in Montana. Beautiful.
Beautiful. Road to the Sun.
Should not be missed. Yeah, Road to the Sun is amazing.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
But then so is Chuckanut Drive. North of the city on the way to Bellingham.
Yep.
It's gorgeous.
I used to live on Chuckanut Drive.
Did you really?
Yeah.
When people come to town to visit us here, we live in what will soon be the only place in America under 80 degrees on average. I'm a firm believer in this. I think Seattle's going to become more and more popular, not just the industry, but the aesthetic beauty and the resources we have here. We're going to become nothing but more popular. People from I've got family in the New England area. I've got family in the Mid-Atlantic. I've got family in Florida. I've got family in the Southwest. And they all come here as often as they can to visit us.
Sure.
And we love taking them. We like taking them to Eastern Washington, to Leavenworth. My sister comes here from Florida every spring break with her kid, just to go to Snoqualmie Pass and see snow.
Because she's in Florida.
She's in Florida.
Yeah, she's
in
snow.
The only time this kid's ever seen snow in their life is when they come here. And we go sledding up at Snoqualmie Lake.
That's fantastic.
It's the greatest.
All right, here's another question for you. Because you mentioned this a few minutes ago. A big part of our tourism here in Seattle is the cruise industry.
The cruise industry.
We have a lot of people who head up to Alaska.
Yeah, Alaska cruises, you bet.
Have you ever taken a cruise?
I can't say that it's not for me. Because I never have.
There it is.
But I don't have the attraction to it.
You would say it's not for you. Obviously, if it was for you, you would have gone.
Probably so, yeah.
And Laura, you are also a person who doesn't like cruising, am I right?
That is correct.
Have you ever been on a cruise?
No, I have not.
How do you know?
At least I'm smart enough to know that.
That's my question.
Yeah.
Okay, I have been on cruises. I was somebody, I wouldn't say that I was like, I wasn't as firm about cruising, my beliefs on cruising as you guys were before I went on a cruise. Like, I didn't say, oh, I would never go on a cruise. But it wasn't something that I immediately jumped to and went, oh, this would be really, really fun. But my wife thought it would be really fun to do something different.
Okay.
Also something cost effective for our honeymoon. She's like, oh, what could we do where we don't have to go fly somewhere to start the vacation? Because there's a lot of stress and anxiety involved in flying.
Absolutely. My daughter's talking about going to Greece. I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah. Have fun sitting on an airplane for 14 hours.
Right.
And making all your connecting flights. And so what we did, we got married over in Mount Rainier area, which was lovely.
Gorgeous.
And then the next day, we were getting on a cruise ship to head out to Alaska. And I'll tell you what, being able, because they leave out of Seattle somewhere.
There's a massive...
Bell Street.
Yeah.
Terminals are at Bell Street near downtown. Yeah. Smith Coast, close to Magnolia. You get on these cruise ships, you drive up to them, and you just cannot believe the size of these ships. I mean, I've been on Princess, I've been on Norwegian, I've been on them all. Like these, we have gotten into
it. You're a cruiser.
I'm a cruiser.
Okay.
Yes. Not in like a pervy way, like a fun way.
That was implying.
And we get on these cruise ships and I could not even imagine how great it was going to be. You walk on and like my initial thought when I was like, I don't know, like we're just going to be pretty cramped. There's like 5,000 people on these boats.
Right.
You're like, there's a ton of room. Cruise ships are just massive. And this sounds like a commercial for cruise ships. I don't advertise for them right now, but they'd like to.
I can tell. You love this.
Well, the thing I like about it is it's all-inclusive.
Okay.
Everything is included, so you can like go out to different restaurants, do all these different things.
Right.
All this recreation is at your fingertips. If you want to get off the boat, go for it.
Like excursions when you go to a town, right? There's a little bit of extra cost. But
like you can pay extra for an excursion,
yeah.
Or you can just walk around a nice little town in Alaska.
Ports of call, right? They do the same thing in the Caribbean.
If you want to go to Ketchikan.
Yeah.
Where I believe Nate the Great spent a great amount of time in Ketchikan. Nate, isn't that right? You from Ketchikan?
What part of Alaska?
Close. Juneau.
A little north. But you know Ketchikan.
I know Ketchikan.
Okay. Ketchikan is a tiny little town. There's nobody that would be from Ketchikan. It's so tiny. But you get there on a cruise ship, you get to see all these unique places. I highly recommend them.
Beautiful scenery.
It's beautiful scenery, but you're also on these boats. So you're eating good food. Which you're not paying for because it's already included in the cost.
Does it get old? What's a 5 days, 7 days, 10 days?
It's usually like a 6-night, 7-day thing.
Is there plenty of diverse entertainments? You never get bored?
Yeah, but you know what? Here's the thing about cruise ships is you have to understand. If you are there because you want to be in Vegas, I would recommend just going to Vegas.
Okay.
If you're there going, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to purposefully disconnect from the entire rest of the world. I'm going to force myself to disconnect. I'm going to put my phone down because oftentimes you're out in areas where you're not even going to get service.
Right.
I'm going to go to kitschy, funny things. I'm going to go and play bingo today.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
If you give yourself over to kind of, you know, I mean, like people think of cruise ships sometimes, they go like, oh, well, do they really have all the fun activities? They have very specific cruise activities, but if you give yourself over to just doing simple.
Get in a deck chair and chilling out.
Just get in a deck chair.
Yeah.
Go on the Lido deck or whatever they call it and just look out at the scenery. You access this area, this like kind of relaxation that it's really tough to get to otherwise because you just never force yourself to do it. I had no access to my phone for a week and now we've gone on like 3, 4, 5 cruises since. And it's, you know, we really like it.
Is there quality consistent, you think, across
cruise?
Definitely
different cruise ships. You definitely want to make sure you choose the right ship.
Do some research, do some vetting.
Yeah. There's some ships that are made for like 21 and older only.
Okay.
And then there's ships, you know, that would work for my family
who have family-friendly
things.
Cool.
And different prices.
I want to add real quick to that. You can also do the offshore, or rather onshore tours once you're docked to learn more about the
Have you
the
cruised?
City. Well, I've cruised, but I was also a tour guide in Alaska.
There you go.
Yeah.
Let me ask you real quick. Were you a cruising fan before you went? Were you surprised
absolutely.
At how much you like it?
I love it.
Me too.
Absolutely love it.
We should go cruising sometime. That'd be fun.
Just the two of us?
Not just two. Bring our wives.
Oh, obviously. Yeah.
No, I think we should have a Cairo news cruise.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Right?
The whole
building?
That'd be a blast.
Mm-hmm. Right. Do the show live from the poop deck?
Sure.
Or wherever. I'm not sure what deck you put it on.
Yeah.
This show, the poop deck. Maybe Gina will be on the Lido.
No, you go in the captain's bar.
Captain's bar. That's where the Seattle's Morning News is. They're up at the captain's table.
Nah, I think that's where Cairo Nights is.
Are you guys? You're running Cairo Nights on a cruise ship?
I highly recommend. For anybody out there listening, just try a cruise.
Yes, Brady, you can come. Look at those puppy dog eyes. Of course you can come. We wouldn't think of doing this without you. When we get back, let's take a look at this movie I can't believe got made. I'm not talking about Civil War, which I know some of us have seen, some of us haven't, so we're going to hold off discussing that very time-appropriate movie. in America these days as this movie store. Sasquatch Sunset.
Oh, okay.
Got made. Are you familiar with this?
Jesse Eisenberg?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. We'll talk about that when we come back.
You're listening to Jack and Spike. Check out exclusive digital content by subscribing to the Jack and Spike Show on YouTube.
That's right, the Jack and Spike Show YouTube channel. It's there for you. We do a little extra every day and give you some content that we just don't have room for or permission to use on air. A little spicier.
Yeah, online, you just get away with a lot more online.
Yeah. We appreciate you guys checking out. Leave us a comment because that means engagement. That helps our numbers. Our numbers are growing pretty good. We're doing pretty good.
Nice.
There's a movie coming out, and I referenced a second ago, Sasquatch Summer. Sasquatch Sunset.
Oh, okay.
Sasquatch Summer is a more adult-themed Sasquatch movie. I can't get clearance to get that one made. And now this is Jesse Eisenberg, who's a pretty accomplished actor.
Yeah, you might remember him from The Social Network. He played Mark Zuckerberg
in
that movie.
Exactly. Yeah, he's got a nice body of work behind him. So does Riley Keough, who's also been in a ton of great stuff too.
She's also the granddaughter of Elvis.
That's right. Anyway, this movie that's coming out, it's deemed a family story about it's a year in the life of a Bigfoot family. Right?
And it's
a serious movie.
It's not CGI. It's not a kid's movie.
These are people who are on what's been deemed realistic costumes. I love that. Realistic Bigfoot costumes.
We should have paired this with the furry story that we did earlier.
That's what it kind of is. That's Sasquatch Summer. That's the furry story.
Okay.
So it's a dramatic family movie. And Eisenberg brought in movement coaches and mime instructors because there's no dialogue in the movie. They communicate through grunts and various, mime and hand gestures and things like that.
This sounds
and they're taking
bizarre.
It very serious.
I'm just fascinated that mime instructor is a job title.
Yeah, no kidding. That guy can make a full-time living.
Yeah. With health insurance, too.
It makes perfect sense. Have you ever tried to communicate with somebody who speaks a different language and you kind of use hand motions almost like a rudimentary sign language,
you think that's going to connect you somehow.
Yeah,
because they don't speak your language.
And they brought in this movement coaches so that the entire cast moved in similar fashion, right?
Whatever.
So they were a species.
Whatever. Funny. I mean, because nobody has seen they don't have any Sasquatch. Right. They don't have any video. Well, I don't know. There are films out there that people think are real Sasquatch. But, like, if you go and watch the movie and they all move like they're stuck in a box or they're pulling
a rope.
I don't know if the mime guy was the right guy to go with. Should be like, I would think they would, like, go to somebody who's, like, a nature, like, somebody who works with gorillas or something.
Well, they did. They did brought in those experts as well.
A gorilla guy and a mime guy?
Yeah, so that the movements were all uniform with a large creature. So all the different cast members or Sasquatch family members all moved in similar fashions, like this was a real speed.
Ridiculous.
They're taking this very seriously.
But it's a Sasquatch family movie.
But it's a Sasquatch fun family drama about life's a year in the life of a family of Sasquatch.
I know we're short on time, but quick question.
Sure.
Do you believe in the Sasquatch?
I would like to believe in Sasquatch. Washington, by the way, leads the nation what they deem credible. I'm using air quotes. Credible Sasquatch sightings.
Yeah, no, we're Harry and the Hendersonville.
I love that movie. Fun movie, right? I kind of believe that there's enough uncharted territory out there.
I know a lot of people who take it very seriously.
Yeah.
And they really believe. They've got footprints. Michael Medved has a cast of a Bigfoot footprint.
Does he really?
Yes. That was a gift to him from one of somebody he knows. He is a believer. He talks about it as being the great North American ape that nobody has been able to find yet. And, we have every other continent. But not here, and so he believes
in Yetis or things like that. Yeah,
yeah, no, he believes them, and tales about Bigfoot and Sasquatch and Yeti—they're tale as old as time.
And just because we don't have proof of something doesn't mean that it isn't there.
Yeah,
and this is one thing.
I mean, it's not there.
Likely, and we keep encroaching further and further and further into their habitat if it is indeed out there.
Why haven't we found a carcass? Right, like I saw a deer in my backyard the other day. And they're giant, and they move silently through the woods. I'm not saying that, Bigfoot can't move all through the woods, but
no,
why haven't we seen them
Because they are more human-like than other species and have a ritual for taking care of their dead. They don't just leave them lying around.
Oh, they're like elephants.
Maybe so, yeah.
Do elephants
have a graveyard they go to where they all die at the same place. Yeah,
I wonder. I wonder, and they also, some people say that Bigfoots can blend in. You know, they can
They look like a tree.
They can look like a tree.
Yeah, I mean, how do you... I think it'd be
stuck
great.
In a box, like a mug.
that's the greatest take on this yet. Oh, it's a Sasquatch in a box.
Yeah.
A great job, Jake Squire.
This is fun. Thanks for having me this week, guys.
Thank you, Spike.
Thank you, Laura.
Yeah, Laura, A+. Jake Squire, A+. Brady, A+, my friend. Nate Connors.
Yes, sir. Always a privilege.
You could do your job as a mime and still get an A+. Just on sheer looks alone.
Thank you.
Folks, it's your quote of the day.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Can't get any dumber than this.
Yeah, seriously. We've lowered the bar.